WUGA is proud to announce the next event in our Artist in Residence series, Saturday, May 4th, at the home of Jamie Calkin. Jamie's murals are on display all around town, brightening buildings in Athens and beyond. His work captures iconic places such as the Arch and Stadium on campus, cityscapes, sorority houses, and people's beloved pets in colorful, distinctive work. Most notably, people have probably seen his murals at the Tate Center on the UGA campus and on the exterior wall at Flowerland on North Milledge. They're also indoors around Athens, too, at Extra Special People's Center, in elementary schools, and the cafeteria at Piedmont Hospital, for example. Jamie has been kind enough to join me in the studio to talk about his work and talk about the event coming up. Jamie, thanks so much for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Now, maybe I should call you Dr. Calkin.
You know, nobody does. yeah.
Talk about why that is.
Well, I'm all right with it, partly because there's so many doctors in Athens, and many of them are not actively using their doctorate. And that's my case. Mm-hmm. I have a doctorate in science education and was a science teacher, a high school science teacher, and planned to teach teachers. And about halfway through my program, I asked my wife, you know, maybe I should do the art thing instead. And she was very wise and firmly convinced me to finish my degree. And I used it and did art, sold art. So I did both things for a while and slowly did more art and less science education. And about 4 years or so, I've been doing just art.
Well, so, congratulations on
Thank
that.
You.
That must have been a I can't imagine. My wife is a school teacher, and it's a high-pressure job. And I'm imagining that making a shift from that into a career where you spend your time in capturing moments in time on and self-expression, there's got to be a huge shift. There's no pressure, or maybe I'm wrong about that.
It does feel that way a lot. One of the things, and I brag, unfortunately, I don't realize it sometimes, but I don't have a Monday morning feeling or a Sunday night feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of like Saturday morning for me.
Every day.
And I create pressure sometimes to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
I need extrinsic motivation, external deadlines. But the pressure's just about always my
mm-hmm.
I make it.
Do you miss teaching?
I miss some things about teaching and a lot of things about education. And so I always try and work with schools when I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love to talk about my work. And I've done some teaching of art. And so anytime I get to talk to people, I remind myself that I'm kind of teaching.
Yeah. Did you start painting for fun primarily?
I started drawing. I drew my dog for my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and it turned out so well. And that was in my late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got, it's Betty Edwards' book, classic book, Drawing from the Right Side of the Brain,
mm-hmm.
and did the exercises. And like a lot of folks, is so excited that it turned out well. So drawing realistically was really important to me. I think a lot of folks jump to painting, mm-hmm. and some get frustrated unless they can let go of it being realistic or representational. And so for me, it was really important to be able to draw realistically. And so I took maybe two years of community drawing classes, so mm-hmm. community classes in drawing mm-hmm. before I jumped to watercolor.
Do you remember your first commission?
Mm. I had a lot of like when I would get a gift card because somebody was grateful I'd done it for them, I always thought, like when I first got it, I was like, this is almost like getting paid and this is great. My first commission. And I have memories of early commissions.
Mm-hmm.
I did a rainbow trout for my dad in one of my early watercolor classes,
mm-hmm.
but that was a present. He didn't ask for it. So,
You've described yourself as a plein air painter, primarily earlier in your career, but can you talk about what that is and then how you've made the shift away from that?
So plein air means painting outside and looking at the subject that you're painting. I love that, and I used to almost exclusively draw and paint outside. Once I did my first house, which was from a picture, but that was when I was like, okay, architecture, I can make this look really good. And after that, I started doing a lot of, I lived near Normaltown, and so I would sit outside of Allen's, which was open at the time, and draw that, paint that whole Prince Avenue kind of block.
Mm-hmm.
So I had some drawing teachers tell me that it's really important to draw from life because of the challenges it offers that you have to resolve, whereas if you jump straight to two-dimensional photographs or other people's paintings, they can look flat. And mm-hmm. I honestly don't know why that is, but I do feel like because I worked for, you know, 5-6 years a lot outside, and I've gotten soft. So I like a coffee shop and I like my studio and a table. But my work still looks like I've drawn from life.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's a more challenging approach to doing it.
Yes.
And it developed certain skills that you were able to take from the outside to the inside and apply to your...
I feel that way, yeah. There's a lot of distractions,
mm-hmm.
whereas with a photograph, you can even crop it easily, but yeah. So when I do it now, I'm like, darn it, I got to stop worrying about that. It's still a challenge.
Your mural at the Tate Center is more than 60 feet long. How did you get, and that's not the only mural to your credit. What drew you to working in large scale, and what are some of the challenges?
That was definitely my first large one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll always owe Willie Banks, who's now in Indiana, but he trusted me to take my work and go big. And so it wasn't so much that I wanted to paint murals as I wanted my work to be in the Tate Center and in a great place. And with buildings are very forgiving as far as, and this is my opinion, but like you can kind of mess them up and it makes it more interesting.
Hmm.
Compared to like human faces, it can be very problematic when you don't get it right. And so one of the things I think about is like, so I work flat because I do watercolor. And so when my arm is stretched out, your perspective is wonky. It you end up with weird lines because you're looking at it from an angle.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes that I would prop the panel up on the wall and go, yeah, all right, I messed that up, but it works. It makes it more interesting.
That is interesting. So I think the word you used was forgiving.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So you started out, as you mentioned, painting people's pets, now you paint guitars and ties and art cars. What are you working on right now?
So I'm actually working on, this is a professional job of an art car, and so I'm working on a catering van for Tzatziki's in town, and it's been just a blast because I have only done my own art cars, and I've done a couple little things on other people's cars. So to get to do this and see it around, and hopefully it'll be parked in the driveway for the artist in residence.
Excellent. That looks that's a nice little segue to where I'm headed. Although I don't want to get there just yet.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. I do want to ask you about your commissions. You're a full-time artist, which means you do get regular commissions. What kinds of things do people most often ask you to paint?
The most common thing, and I kind of call it bread and butter sometimes, is a home portrait. Mm-hmm. So that's a painting of someone's house.
Okay.
And sometimes it's a former house or and I've done ancestral homes, which is really cool. And then things like churches, restaurants where they met their husband or wife. And sometimes that a lot of times I'll ask to put if they want the family in there, the dog. And so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm also told that many of your works include subtle sort of whimsical details. Could you give us some examples of that?
So I'm doing a painting of a high school stadium, and in it there is the part of the tennis courts. And so the first one is good. It's a tennis court, real lines. But the second one is a pickleball court, which I don't know if I would make money from pickleball if I could, but I certainly love it as much as painting.
Yeah.
That's one example.
Now, you included the pickleball court into your work, but it's not actually.
Oh, no, no, no. There's no such thing as a high school pickleball team. Not yet, anyway.
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, now, a moment ago you mentioned, you touched a little bit on what we might see when we come visit you at the event on May the 4th. Can you talk a little bit more about that event? What can we expect?
Well, I'm just so excited. Because I love to share. That's one of the reasons for my success is I was very quick to share my work. And so to share my home and my work, I'm really excited about. I think like I was thinking about it earlier is artists kind of have to do a lot of things to make a living from art. And I think that's going to be well illustrated, or there'll be a lot of examples of a lot of different things that I do. But one of the things I think is consistent is my style. And I kind of have a look that, but you'll see it across different media, different subject matters on different things like guitars. And so I'm having a friend, his wife got me to paint a guitar for him. And so he's going to be playing that guitar and talking about them.
Mm-hmm. How would you describe that style?
I think whimsical is a good word. As far as like it's kind of like street artists, especially like Europe. Mm-hmm. So it's pen and ink. Ink and watercolor. And I have a pretty loose style. I tend to have a thick wavy line. Whether I draw with a brush or draw with calligraphy pens, and then bright primary colors, unmixed colors, so vibrant. Mm-hmm. So between the black line and the vibrant colors, it pops.
Do you have colors in your works that specifically represent things that we might not know about?
I mean, I do windows with ultramarine blue and lemon yellow. And sometimes I think about, I was raised on Michigan football, maize and blue. But that's not why. It's the best way to do it that I found. I used to say I never paint with black. I use black line, but I don't. And I've gotten to where what I do is I mix sepia and indigo, basically black. Mm-hmm. Whereas I used to do purple and dark browns.
Mm-hmm. When we visit you on May the 4th, we'll get to hear from an expert speaker who will speak about you and about your art. Who are we going to hear?
It's JoBeth Allen, who is just great. She's been at so I've gone to church with her now for 10 years. As a professor, she's affected so many. She's awesome. And her husband's going to be the guitar guy, actually.
Oh, okay.
And we've talked about it, and her job is really going to be facilitating the questions and keeping me in line.
Sure.
She just creates such a nice discussion. Mm-hmm. And she was actually nervous about being the expert. And my point when I talked to her about it was, I didn't go to art school, and I kind of like to draw pretty pictures for people. And so I think she'll be plenty expert on the art. So
very good. What am I not asking you about that I should be?
So Athens is a big part of what I do and what I paint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think partly because I'm a literal person, I paint the place that I'm at. And so when I travel, I love to paint places. But when I sell my work, I think of that place. Mm-hmm. And so I was pretty much exclusively Athens for over 10 years. And getting told no in Asheville, North Carolina, because I wasn't local, or I thought, huh. And Atlanta is, I could argue, I'm kind of local.
Sure.
And so I do a lot of art fairs there, mm-hmm. and some other work. But I'd say over half of my conversations are still about Athens.
Yeah.
And it's a huge part of not only what I paint, but of my art story. I like to say that Athens is a great incubator for artists.
Yeah.
But that to make a living, you kind of have to figure out how to sell your work outside of Athens as well as within Athens.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and one of the great things is that UGA students and faculty go all over the world.
Yeah.
And so my work is all over the world because it's because of the UGA connection.
Very good.
But it's a great town. I think I forgot to say that. Athens is a great town.
It is. I tend to agree. I came for college. I made it my home for life.
Yeah, I came for graduate school and was supposed to leave and be, because you have to be a professor somewhere else before you can come back.
True.
But my wife works at Piedmont, and it's been great. Yeah. Now Athens does think very highly of itself sometimes.
A little bit.
So that's
okay.
That's been great to see Atlanta. Like it's like, oh yeah, Athens is great and not perfect.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of sometimes it's the artist's job, and I don't do that much in my work, mm-hmm. of like social justice or criticism of big things, but
right.
And maybe that's some of the times I sneak stuff in.
Okay. Jamie, thank you for being here.
Oh, you are welcome. Thank you for having me.
You bet. I've been speaking to painter Jamie Calkin, WUGA's featured artist in residence for May. The event at his home and studio will take place on Saturday, May the 4th. For more information or to RSVP, contact Kathy Bradbury at WUGA@UGA.edu or 706-542-9842. To hear the full discussion with Jamie Calkin, please visit our website at WUGA.org. For WUGA, I'm Michael Carden. All right, now here the spelling is C-U-L.
Drop the U.
But it's C-A.
C-A-L-K-I-N. Yeah.
C-A-L.
Yeah. Most people spell it with a U and an S, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.